during that game in Munich last week, I got a text off one of Pogba's family, and it just said, different animal.
You know, Mancini has wanted everyone to have fun, you know.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
Delighted to say Keith Wood is with us of the British and Irish Lions. Keith, good morning to you. How are you?
Sure, I'm great, thank you. Listen, I'm going to have to listen to you read the roundup of the papers more often. The incredulous reading of the headlines is worth the listening alone. Some of the headlines are funny. I was reminded from the the British Lions thing, Louis Late, who was the head of South African rugby in 1997, kept on his opening speech when we first met up with a function. He called us the English team for most of his speech and never deigned to call us Irish at any stage. It was the English team or the British team. So we shouted him down about five or six times, but it didn't seem to sink in.
Does that change over time, Keith? The need to shout those people down?
No, I don't think okay, it ever
the
takes...
requirement. I mean, like, I'm not talking about the necessity of it.
Absolutely. Look, very few people view it in that fashion. I think for an awful lot of the Lions history was it was very Wales focused, partly from, you know, when you think of the big Lions tours back in the 60s and 70s were huge numbers of Welsh players. But no, it was. It used to be originally called the British Isles Touring Team, which is a more geographical than political view. But no, I think it's worth reminding people, if they get it wrong, exactly why they've got it wrong, because it's to be honest, it's disrespectful.
Yeah, and I'm presuming it's just a typo. Somebody deleted a word on the. It's funny that it was that word that was deleted. It's funny that word might get dropped frequently, and it's dropped in the London Times this morning as well. Which, look, and also that they're having a bit of a hissy fit about the fact that there's no English players in the team for the first time in 71 years, which presumably does not matter a jot. This is a bunch of the English players joined up late, and so therefore, I guess, are being rested or eased into action.
Well, for me, I get equally annoyed when I hear people calling about Irish Lions, because that isn't what it is. It's the grouping of four different countries together, and it doesn't matter about what the setup is. Look, there's a practicality reason here. The guys have been playing elsewhere and haven't been allowed to be freed up. So you can imagine it's the players who've been playing for the last couple of weeks are the ones who are going to get the first chance to play.
Is Gatland just being also a little bit provocative? Is there an element of that? Because he does like to stir things a little bit.
Well, that would be his form, you know. I think he likes it, and look, but again, for the same time, do you want to turn up on a Tuesday and play, you know, when you've other guys been playing for a period of time? So, look, it's funny. I was trying to think back to the huge sense of trepidation of wanting to get the jersey on and playing, and even on my second tour and having played, you think that would be lessened. And it wasn't. I couldn't wait to play. I captained the first match of the tour in 2001. I was never as nervous in my whole life as I was in that game. For some reason, it was the fear of not delivering and of making, of letting the jersey down. At the start, I couldn't get over it. I was so nervous. I've seen a picture of me running out onto the field and I'm bricking it. And we played Western Australia and we beat them by 116 points. I had no reason to be nervous, and it wasn't that we weren't going to win. It was that we weren't going to start it right. And there is a big element in terms of momentum to this, not just for individuals, but also for the team. And you want to be able to get off to a very good start if you can.
Why were you nervous though? Because you captained your country. This is your second Lions tour. You're a seasoned international at that stage. What looking back now, what was it about the responsibility that just put you on edge a little bit?
You could cock up on the first week of the tour and maybe struggle to get back in and get a chance there, because you've heard every comment that's been said this week or the last few weeks about everybody's going to get a chance, and not every chance is equal. That's the other point. So you don't want to make mistakes at all. It can be a very limiting factor, actually, if the fear puts you under pressure. So I had nerves beforehand because I understood the magnitude of it, and you want to get a sense of momentum and you want to deliver right for the jersey. You want to deliver right for yourself too. And you want to put yourself in a good position to get picked for the test team. And you're not going to do that on the first day. But you can ruin it on the first day, and you can suddenly say, God, he's not up for it. So it's because it only comes around every 4 years, because it's such a limited chance. It's why it's a great, you know, it's such a great thing, but it also has all the pressure that sits with it. And like, there's players that have been very, very good and have never shone for the Lions. And, you know, you just don't ever want to have that situation to happen. But even psychologically now, and I haven't touched on this before, there was days when I was so nervous before games and played really well, and there was days I was nervous and played really badly. I could never quite figure out what it was. We talked a couple of weeks ago about Neil Jenkins puking in the change room. I was one of those guys too. And there was times when I would do that and go out and play, could be man of the match, or I could be rubbish. I never knew. So for me, it was very frustrating to not have an understanding of myself and my own psychology as to whether I was going to perform well that day.
Things have obviously changed significantly in that if you were an academy player now at Munster or Leinster or wherever you were coming through, there would be access to sports psychologists who would give you the tools to understand that a bit more. Would that have changed anything, do you think, in retrospect, if you had had access to that type of training, essentially?
There was bits of training back in those days, and we and I was permanently looking for a psychologist to work with Ireland in the late 90s, because we were we weren't at the standard that we wanted to be, and I felt it was something that was missing. I think there is an understanding of it, but there also is the reality that you still have to go out and perform, and that's the one governing thought. For me, I think you understand an awful lot over a period of time. It's part coach as well. If the coach can understand that, you know, you can make mistakes and still have an excellent performance at the end of the match. I've seen some coaches that take players off early because they think they've lost it. And you should do that with some players because they can't get it back. You can see that they're emotionally all over the place. But actually, some of the really top players, you can see them make two or three mistakes and then do one good thing and suddenly put in an incredible 60 or 70 minutes of a performance. So, look, I think psychology is incredibly important anyway. I think it's essential for the Lions because they don't have a huge amount of time together. So it's one of the core elements is to get that sense of belief that you can trust the players around you, that they are going to have your back if you make a mistake. And that becomes very important.
Just the team itself, we'll talk about in a moment. But the last thing that I kind of wanted to ask about is the quality of rugby that you play when you end up being training with the Lions for the first time and meeting up with the squad and just realising that every single player here is the best in their position that maybe you'll ever play with. Is it significantly noticeable early, before you play the matches, just how good the environment is?
You see it in the first training session, the lines that people run, the depth that people keep. I mean, depth sounds like a very kind of average thing to talk about in terms of rugby. But if you have depth, you can react to everything. You don't even need to hear a call. You're going to be able to see it. A lot of people are rushing to make decisions, but the really, really good players, they make their decisions incredibly late. So they can do that when they're, you know, on a sense of, you know, in a line of depth where they can read what's happening in front of them. But you also then see the qualities of what players have, what makes them very good. And it's different when you're playing against them because you're looking to try and stop them. But when you're playing with them, you're trying to emulate the things that they do. You're trying to understand how that can push your game a little bit further. So you'd have scrum halves that push a pass in a different fashion, that force you to run onto the ball in a particular way. You have out halves that, again, see things incredibly differently. You have front row forwards that scrummage in a better way or a slightly different way, have a slightly different bind that suddenly puts you into a better position. These are all guys at the top of the game. And it's funny, I've been struck by the last 3 or 4 weeks because we know that we're part of it, but you can overtalk the lines so much. But if you listen to any of the players that are talking about it, and the cynics among us will say that they get paid a lot of money and that's all great and fine, but it's the top of the tree in terms of performance for players on these islands. And they all want to go. They all want to see what it's all about, but they all want to experience it. And it's a hard, hard place because it's such a short tour. So you don't get a run in for a couple of years to understand what this is like. You could be in and out of it in 6 weeks and you've either done well or you haven't. It's a tough place to be, but it's the most exciting place to play.
The team itself then, obviously, you talked about the importance of momentum. These pre-tour matches, it's always very difficult to know exactly how much to read into them. The fact that there is still the Premiership final on, and so players will be joining up after that game, which I think is happening on the same day as this test. So obviously, this isn't the test team. We know it's not the test team. But if you play well in this game, before you go, if you have it in the coaches' heads on that long trip down to South Africa that was pretty good, Jack Conan was great, better than we expected, or whoever, it's an opportunity that you just don't want to blow.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of a test match, and they're uncertain as to whether to call it a test match or not. But I'm uncertain. I don't like them before the tour. I think a Lions tour is about the moulding of groups of players together, and I think that's it's a touring side. That is what it is. I understand the practicalities of why it's happening. But it's not hard to get excited, because actually, strangely, this week I've got really excited by it. So much and all, as I've had reservations, I've been looking forward to this, looking forward to seeing how different players and different combinations can go. But also, these guys have been together for a couple of weeks now. They'd have worked for this one, you know, so it's a very fairly focused team to this game. But I think you can put down a marker. I think you want to be playing in a big stadium. You want to be putting that jersey on. That just makes a huge difference. It brings a level of excitement. But I think the guys want to play well. They don't want to get injured. They also don't want to lose, and they want to have a proper performance on the field. And I don't know that you can see a huge amount of style in the game. I think it becomes, again, very simplistically but done incredibly well. And there might be a bit of a change where you're looking to move the ball around. But if you're ever to pick a team that is entirely the opposite of what you're going to play against on tour, it would be Japan. Japan will be everywhere at once, running everything at every time. The ball will never be dead. They have a couple of big guys, but they're not a big, heavy hitting side. It is the exact opposite of what they're going to face for the next 6 weeks. So I think it's a really intriguing game, and it's one where we could struggle quite heavily, because Japan are incredibly capable, but they're capable in a style that we're not really used to.
One of the big talking points from an Irish perspective, Keith, is going to be the fact that Henshaw and Aki have the midfield jerseys. Is your sense that it's theirs to keep come test time?
No, I don't consider that for anybody that's playing. I do like the idea of combinations that these guys have played together before, but I don't think you can say that anything is there to be kept. You'll find out in about a month or maybe less that, it has to be a month, but that certain players will come to the top. But whether you'd say for absolute certain that anybody is nailed on, I don't believe that. I think Gatland is guys he knows and likes, and he'll want to play them. And I think Henshaw is one of those. I think Aki was a surprise in getting selected. He gets a great opportunity to go and do it. But no, I wouldn't. I don't read anything into this at the start. I don't read anything into the first three games. Actually, it's you read into the performance of the players that come out of it, as opposed to the selection before it.
From the perspective of Aki, right, getting named, obviously Gatland has in his head he wants that type of player. And look, I don't know. Maybe he wants that type of player for the two midweek games and the warm-up games. But you know, like, Gatland has a very specific idea in his head of how he wants the game to be played, and Bundy Aki might be the perfect prototype for a Gatland player.
I agree. That's like, I think we were surprised he got picked, but when you look at it, it makes sense in terms of Gatland's style. He likes to have big carrying centres. He likes to have a bit of spark too. He could fit in. And look, I think if you were to wind the clock back, I think he would have been happier to have Manu Tuilagi fitter and playing sooner, and that would have been it. But Aki gets the chance on it. So look, I'd go back. I go back to 2001, which is a long time back, and Rob Henderson not having an inkling of a chance until he got the chance, and then he didn't give it up. And so he came very late to being a runner for that test team, but he played in the three tests.
And he played bloody well.
He played fantastically well. Hendo was a great tourist, but didn't, I think, kind of got through the whole tour without any pressure being on him. And then the second that the pressure did come on, his reaction to that was extraordinary. I mean, in the first test, I thought he was incredible. He had an incredible game. Draco got most applauded for that game, but Hendo was incredible beside him.
So do we maybe underrate Bundy Aki in like, as a country, a little bit? Is there a possibility that a player like that goes off and has a Lions tour and comes back and we're like, oh, we should have had you in the team as a nailed on, and we should be finding some way to get Gary Ringrose in the team, or maybe Gary Ringrose is that bench player now for the next 18 months on the back of what happens on the Lions tour?
Well, it depends on how you're going to play. And I think if we're looking at how Joe Schmidt wanted his centres to play, he played Aki at different times, but it, for the most part, he wanted very consistent play that happened time and time after with very little risk taken. Aki did that for him for a while. I think when you see Farrell coming in, he's not quite as much as that. He wants a little bit more. More handling required. It all depends entirely on the coach and what the coach wants. So the Lions is very different. It doesn't take into consideration your form to get you onto the plane, provided the coach thinks that fits into how he thinks the Lions are going to play. I think that's a fair call, but you then have to say, when you come home, actually, if Aki does a particular job, we know he can play in that style. Is that something that we can incorporate into an Irish backline? That becomes the question. I don't think he's been under. I think he's done very well since he's come over. I think he's ingratiated himself incredibly well in Connacht. They love him over there for what he's delivered and given to the province. I also think he's played very well for Ireland. I do think he struggles a little bit with tackle technique, and he still is standing up tackling a little bit too high. There's a high risk in that. You can't afford that in a Lions tour. You can't afford to get sent off. You could be gone for a huge amount.
Yeah, there's talk that this week he's been flying into people in training. Like, we just haven't seen the exact technique and how he's been flying into people in training, but I'm sure it's all good. Just a couple of quick ones before we let you go, Keith. Conor Murray, after the season he's had, and from what you've seen all season, how high are your hopes for him this summer?
He's a seasoned line. I think it took him an awful lot longer to get back from the injury. But he is a world-class player. He just wasn't for a while. But I think he started to come back into form. I want to see him playing the way he can play, which is interesting back rows, which means he's going to get hit a fair bit, but that's part of it. But if he does that, he opens up more space for people at the back. Look, I find South Africa a really interesting team because they're so big, but also because of the manner in which their two smallest players play, in that Cheslin Kolbe can open up anything. But Faf de Klerk's defensive setup for South Africa is amazing for a small guy. He's allowed to do what he wants. So he can go back deep and pick up ahead of pace be onside, break through the line and go out and make a tackle on his own. He's not part of the defensive lineup. He's allowed to run as a rogue defender. That puts guys under pressure an awful lot. We'll be interested to see what the Lions do with that. That's where Connor becomes incredibly important, because if he passes every ball, players can be picked off in the back line. But if he interests the back row, that becomes much harder to do.
And then just finally on that back row, which has got more than a hint of Irish about it, with Ty Byrne and Jack Conan in there, is this the beginning of an evolution for Byrne to be a back row full stop? I know, I think probably he's played more at second row all season this season, but is this just a Lions fix or almost a career change in a slight way for him over the next little while?
Well, I think it's an interesting comment from Gatlin that he considers him a back row forward. I have to say, I probably do as well. I think he lacks the ballast for second row, and he definitely does against South Africa. And at times when he's played in the second row against big, heavy hitting teams, he a lot of his energy has been taken out of it, you know. And I think you lose some of his skills. He is extraordinary at breakdown, but if he's spending all his life scrummaging against huge men, you don't quite have the gas to get around into the places that you'd like to be. So, look, I think it's a really good place for him. It'd be interesting to see how he performs, because it's the most competitive part of the Lions' back row, is the Lions' back row.
I know we're not going to read too much into it, but you don't want to start the tour with a defeat, particularly in a home match. When I know you're not supposed to be at home either, but there's not jeopardy around the game, because obviously they could lose this and win a test series. But you definitely don't want to lose your own first game. It's not a game against the Babas here, where nobody really takes the result too seriously. If Japan beat the Lions well at the weekend, there'll be a bit of a stake around.
Well, there's a couple of things on that. One is, I think it's fantastic that they're playing Japan. I wish it was away from home. And I do think we need to see what the Lions can do in terms of some of the other countries, be it Argentina, Japan in particular, maybe the Pacific Islands as part of a tour, if that was able to happen at some stage, would be really interesting, because, you know, it's a great way to grow the game. I mean, the Lions is an incredibly large and central part of rugby. Even though some fans don't think it is, rugby players themselves think it is. They'll want to take the scalp. So is there jeopardy? I actually think there is jeopardy in it, for the simple reason. This is going to be a different tour to any other. The players are going to be in a bubble for nearly the whole tour. They're not going to be out. They're going to be in their hotel room a huge amount. You want as many wins as you can. You want to have a feeling that things are good. Because it could be tough going if you lose a couple of matches that you should win, and you've no opportunity to go outside your hotel, you know. So I think it's a very, very difficult tour ahead for all the players and the management. It's just trying to get the wins so that they can enjoy themselves, because a winning tour is what's great. Now, the only thing anybody will care about at the end is if they win the series. But you'd still like to have a little bit of joy for the first month of the tour.
Yeah, and it's more likely to be joyful, and more likely that they'll all bond if they're winning and their, you know, training is less tense and people are a bit more honest. I made that mistake at that point and yet we still won the game. I'm more happy to have that mistake highlighted. If we lose, it's suddenly I'm scapegoated as a result of it, and, you know, the factions start a little bit easier. So, look, I'm not saying that it's a must-win game, but, you know, nobody likes, particularly these guys, they don't like losing.
No, they don't like losing. I thought it was very interesting at the weekend, the last two weekends, watching the Saracens guys. I think Saracens have been... They started in the championship very, very poorly, and some of their wins have been hard fought. But the second they came to something that mattered, which was the playoff games at the end, they won 60-0 in the first one and 57-15 in the second one. They're guys that are fresh and eager. You have everybody else who are in cup finals or all at the end of the season are all doing very well. And for a lot of these players, it'll be their last Lions tour. And for some of them, it'll be their first, and they want to have more. It makes for, you know, these are alpha you know, players, you know, they're at the absolute top of their game. They don't ever want to lose. So I think a one-off test type game is incredibly tough for the Lions because of the history of it, but also because you don't ever want to cock up.
Keith, good stuff. Looking forward to it. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Just a reminder, of course, that we're very excited to let you know that OTB Sports will be broadcasting full live commentary of all 9 matches from the British and Irish Lions tour of South Africa and, of course, the game at Murrayfield. Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan are going to be alongside Neil Tracy on commentary for the 3 test matches. Devin Toner, Neve Briggs and Jack Carty among the co-coms for the warm-up games. We'll have analysis and reaction from Keith Wood and Ron Nogara across the duration of the competition as well. It all starts this Saturday against Japan. Andy Dunn is going to be alongside Neil in the commentary box from the 3 o'clock kickoff, which will be live on Off the Ball on News Talk, and our coverage will be brought to you in association with Vodafone, lead partner of the British and Irish Lions.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.